morning. Today is Tuesday, April the 26th, 127th day of the new year. Joining us this morning is Fortuna City Manager. Yes, he does exist. Regan Candelaria.
Hey, good morning, Brian.
And to you, sir. Was it sunny when you left?
It was. Fortuna's always nice.
So you found the fog and brought it up into the Bay Area all by yourself.
No, you know what?
Because it was clear at 6 here.
I was out of town last weekend when it was raining, and that's kind of the thing. When I leave town, that's usually when we get the rain. So.
Okay. Hey, are your budget negotiations done?
Pretty close, yes. We were about to...
Almost.
Yes.
Well, then I can use this quote.
Okay, good.
All right. This comes from Cicero, somewhere around 50 BC. A man has no enemy worse than himself.
That's interesting.
That would be an interesting quote to lob out at the beginning of a labor negotiation process.
Don't be greedy. Is that what you're going for?
I'm not putting any details on that one. Just throwing the skeleton out there. You guys can put the meat on the bones. Well, let's start with that because we've got just a couple minutes here in this opening segment. How's it look?
In terms of labor negotiations, great. We've actually had, we started really early this year, and this is one of the strategies that we tried to implement starting last year, was getting that process over a little bit sooner in the year so that it's not coinciding with the development of the budget, so that we can have those numbers in place and know what our labor budget is. And in local government, that's the biggest part. That's what we do. We're a service industry. So knowing what those labor figures are, helps you to build your budget for the next year and have a good sense of what's going on. And then the other part of that is, of course, finding out how much your health insurance increases are going to be. That's kind of a regular annual thing.
It's kind of roll the dice, even best case scenario, isn't it?
Yeah, well, we're members of our Joint Powers Authority, and so we negotiate what our terms are going to be, and we can try and determine that, and they know our budget schedule because we're all cities, so they try and get it to us in, March, April, if at all possible, so we can build it in. And then PERS, we know what their increases are because they put that together for us. They call it smoothing. I don't like that very much because we've got another huge increase to deal with their problems.
It's just an uphill smooth.
Yeah. So, yeah, we've always up against it each year.
The medical that you guys are looking at, there was an announcement last week that, was it United? Was not going to be doing, they're in 34 states and they were going to be backing out of a number of them, and that there were going to be significant impacts to, what do they call Obamacare if you don't call it Obamacare?
Oh, the Affordable Care Act.
That.
ACA.
And the application of that. When there's a national issue like that really doesn't have a chance to hit the shore, do you guys just kind of hold your breath and hope that it takes about 14 or 15 months to arrive?
We have been busy implementing the Affordable Care Act for the last couple fiscal years, and it makes it a little bit more difficult on us. It definitely takes a lot more staff time, and what it does is it affects how we work the numbers, because now there's new requirements that we have to meet, and you can't offer too much health insurance. So it puts you into a little tiny corner there, but we've done a pretty good job to be prepared.
It's 8:19.
You've never heard us before, because we're something brand new. It's called Destination Radio. If you live in Ferndale or Gold Beach, Blue Lake or Klamath, Brookings or Eureka, you'll be looking for someplace different to take the family, something special to do next weekend. The best destinations for day trips and overnights, for hiking or biking, for beachcombing or birdwatching, and you'll turn to us for ideas, because you're the reason we're here, to help you find your close-to-home destination. Stay, play, and relax with us. Destination Radio.
Good morning, KINS News and Information. Time is 8:24. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Regan Candelaria. Regan, before we get into your stuff.
Okay.
It's
your show, so I'm fine. Whatever you want, I got it.
comments about what Eureka and the County of Humboldt are doing with the container homeless camp, or I don't know even if there's a name yet associated with it that doesn't have coloring phrases and perspectives associated with it. I talked to a couple guys in law enforcement, and they're apoplectic about what's going on with this. as well as what, you know, most of the other comments that you might imagine from everybody going, this is the greatest thing in the world, to whose screws are loose the most and everything in between. You're not in the fray, but certainly it's going to ripple into Fortuna.
Well, we hope not.
One way or the other.
We would like to not be in the fray, as you call it. We're trying to be proactive. Our city council approved our first reading of a new ordinance, essentially a panhandling and aggressive solicitation ordinance. They did that at our last meeting, and I expect it to move forward through second reading as well, coming up at our next meeting next Monday. And then staff, or actually the city council, asked staff to also prepare another ordinance to kind of go along with that, to try and help with the educational effort of, you know, the do-gooder, the person that wants to contribute, you know, trying to help them to understand that giving directly might not always be the best, you know, alternative, and that there's a lot of great resources in this county and a lot of organizations that help people in need, and they need support to be able to provide those services. So that's kind of where we're going in Fortuna. I'm probably not the best person to talk to about panhandling issues or homelessness and vagrancy. I mean, I'm a local government official, and there are certain things that we do and that we do well, and maybe that kind of public service isn't our best.
You know, everybody's got their perspectives from their experiences and from their background and what they do. So
yeah, and I don't like to go back too far. Then it gives up my age so much. You know, 25 yeah. years in local government, and that's what we were dealing with 25 years ago when I started. So
yeah, you start talking about the protests of the Vietnam War.
Can't go back that far.
Yeah, okay, yeah, neither can I. That was a TV thing for me too. But it's intriguing to me that we've got that aspect being dealt with and worked with right now. And at the same time, something akin to what you were referencing that had the first reading was implemented 10 days ago. I guess, yeah, a little over 10 days ago in Eureka. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden you don't have the unofficial welcoming committee at each access point to Bayshore Mall or to a lot of the restaurants.
So you're seeing,
there was a shift.
You're seeing success. You think that
I'm seeing almost, and I'll put it loosely, almost, because they're still active, what I think of a town.
Hmm.
Not having cardboard on every corner.
Well, that's great. I'm glad I don't know. I mean, I haven't, I don't go as often as you do.
Yeah.
But that's great. I'm glad that it's being successful.
Interesting, something as simple as that with proper implementation and discussion. Mm-hmm. On the flip side, I'm seeing a lot of people walking in a lot of areas that, well, there was a break-in three houses away from ours last night. And it's like, oh, okay. You know, the things are changing, and they always will be changing, but...
Yeah.
So I'm looking at you guys going, okay, a more manageable issue.
Mm-hmm.
Are there lessons that can be learned? Are you guys watching what Eureka is doing to either emulate... or to better, perhaps, Eureka is doing to deal with the homeless encampments you guys have got before it spins out of control like Eureka did.
Yeah, we do. And our city attorney will be very responsible about looking at what other cities have done and you know, kind of patterning what we have proposed to the council after those that have been successful and have kind of lasted, you know, through enforcement. And lasted through potential challenges. It seems like anything and everything you put out there gets challenged. And that
is that just a California phenomenon, or is that now national?
I don't know about national, but definitely everywhere in California, because that's he does a lot of research to find out, you know, who wrote this language and, you know, what kind of opposition did it face and how effective was it, you know, and that's what we want to try and bring forward for Fortuna. You know, and we're also doing other things to be proactive. Our police department, you've had Bill Doberstein on here a couple times recently. We put together a foot patrol, a new, you know, we basically redirected some of our activities of our police department. They're now doing every day, every shift, actual foot patrols where they're parking the car and they're visiting businesses and they're walking the block and saying hi to people and having more of that, you know, out physical presence in different parts of town. It's been very well received. I'm very happy with it. That's helping a little bit too.
You know, one of the things I think that we all get sucked into government probably on a more regular basis because of the nature of the structure is that you know, you show up at 7:30 or 8 o'clock, you do your job, and you're home at 5:30, 6, 7 o'clock. And unless you really kick yourself out of your chair, you don't get out. Nobody sees the baby blues on the street, or you know, the cops out of their cars because they're always zipping here, zipping there. So to have that as a requirement, not only is it cool, but it's changing the dynamics.
You know, it's great. Like I said, Bill and our lieutenant, Matt Eberhard, you know, they jumped right on it and they implemented it and they got working with all of our guys and they're actually, you know, okay with it too. They're enjoying it, you know, and it's not a big new commitment, but we, with our new system, they're able to log it and track it. And I'm going, wow, they did this many foot patrols in those first couple of weeks and they continue. And the merchants are letting us know too. So that's great.
KINS News and Information Times, 8:30.
We do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Regan Candelaria. So now it's your turn. You brought in your notepad.
I did.
You got stuff there you want to talk about, so this is your half of the show.
All right. I'm not sure where to start. I made a list of five things in case you wanted to talk about stuff, but I guess I'll start with our new community choice aggregation decision in Fortuna.
Okay, first thing we're going to start with is the preface and jargon definition.
What is CCA?
Yes.
What is community choice aggregation? Well, it's new. It's actually brand new in this county, but not new in the state or even in the country. Fortuna was, you know, kind of a leader in starting this ordinance procession, and I know that Arcata has moved forward now, and Eureka is planning to, and the county is planning to. So by having all of these different, you know, local organizations coming together, that's the aggregation part of the CCA, community choice aggregation, is having enough bodies to be a part of this program, and it's all about energy choice. And it's about providing alternatives to our residents and our businesses to have another option, you know, for their bills. And the way I see the kind of benefit is that in addition to the actual user having a choice of what how their bill is laid out and who's their, you know, who they're working with. It's the fact that our county can then choose what types of energy sources we want to use for this power generation. Do we want it to be wind? Do we want it to be solar? Do we want it to be our locally, you know, created energy through our some of our biomass facilities? And so I see that as a great economic development tool for the county. And you know, the leader now, the one who's really put this together is RCEA, the Redwood Coast Energy Authority. They've been working on it for about a year and a half or so, and it looks like in about 6 months to a year we may actually have this thing in place and be able to start selecting our power generation choices and providing that option to our residents.
So let's say the Papstein family wants hydro and there's no hydro currently existing. Is that a choice that's not made available? And here are the three that are.
Actually, the individual, you know, end power users aren't the ones that get to make that level of choice. It's more the organization.
Give it and then take it away,
Well, no, it's you get to contribute to what you those choices. If you're saying hydro and the rest of the people in the aggregation say it's hydro, then RCEA and their consultants can work to buy that, to purchase that as part of the power package here in the county.
So it's not a manufacturing option. It's a purchasing.
It's more
direction.
Purchasing, yes. It's and the way that it's set up now, we're going to say we're going to buy, you know, our power, you know, allotment. It's going to be 20% hydro. It's going to be 20%, locally generated. It's going to be another 50% from the regular, PG&E resources that they're getting their power from.
So if it was locally generated, that pretty much limits it. Current infrastructure to Fairhaven and some of the the burning of the
exactly.
green material.
Yeah, and that makes those facilities now more viable if they know that they can sell their power into this system, which creates the local jobs and keeps them healthy and gives a lot of our local industry a place to get rid of their waste products.
Now, when I think of energy, you got the manufacturing component, but you got the delivery system. So, you may go, we go back to hydro and then say that's a touchy-feely source. Dandy. However, since you don't back your truck up to it.
No, see, that's
and get a bale of, hydro energy and take it home until you.
You're right. You asked the great question, and that's what's kind of unique about this whole system. The distribution system doesn't change, and it won't change for us here where we have community choice aggregation. It's just that we get to, as the purchaser, get to say we want to make sure that the power that's being generated and put into this system comes from hydro, comes from wind, comes from solar.
So how does PG&E then, as the utility in the area with the infrastructure, there must be an infrastructure charge on top of whatever the energy production
there's state legislation that allows for community choice aggregation, and PG&E is kind of just a partner in this, maybe a little reluctant, but still they don't stand in the way. They need to be a part of this. It's been very successful up in Napa and Sonoma counties, and they've had CCA in place for quite some time. PG&E,
How do they maintain the infrastructure then if they're not generating revenue to be able to offset into it?
It's still part of the overall budget for the CCA, and so we still contribute into that. So that part doesn't go away.
Now that makes sense. KINS, news and information time. Get ready for your second topic.
Okay.
It's 8:40. We'll be back with more from Regan.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
Theshoppingshow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good morning, KINS, news and information time. It's 8:45. We're back talking shop this morning. It's Regan's show for the remainder of the program. Now, you had said that you had five topics. We punched out one of them.
We've actually talked about two.
Oh, really? We combined two of them?
Yeah.
Well. Oh, cool. All right. Then we might get down your list then. What's next on the cavalcade of hits?
Well, not that I have specific things here, but we did mention PG&E as we went out from the last break, and I did want to just kind of share, how much success we've had working with them over the past few years. We've got a great undergrounding of utilities project for 12th Street moving forward, and that's through Rule 20A through PG&E. So we're very thankful for that and our partnership with the county, Humboldt County. That project's moving forward. It's going to be a great asset to the city of Fortuna, getting people off the freeway from 101 at 12th Street there and getting them right into downtown. It'll make some great visual improvements.
It's all part of that whole interchange, the undergrounding and everything?
Well, the undergrounding of utilities along 12th Street will make that new, gateway there much nicer in Fortuna.
Isn't it amazing how much something as simple as that can mean to what you see and what you experience?
Very simple.
It just cleans so quickly. And, well, maybe because there's nowhere for people to bring out their staple gun and put up flyers.
Those are unattractive. Another thing we've got going with PG&E, they've been a great partner with us to help us get our LED lights changed out with all of our street lights in town. They help us with, reducing some of our regular energy costs at a lot of our facilities, including our treatment plant and other big user places like that. Allison Talbot, our rep from PG&E, has also been great. She's always there, always responsive. And one of the things we're working on right now is our flood reduction project along Roner Creek. And it's about to get under construction this year, so I wanted to make sure I shared that with everybody. It's a huge project. We've been working on engineering for that and, you know, permitting through all the agencies. So we have all of the permits for the entire project, all four phases, so that's great.
Now, do those last for the entire construction process, or do you have a time bomb ticking that if it, let's say it takes an extra 6 months, do you have to go back and get those extended?
No, that was, I'm very proud of our engineers for working with all the agencies to get all the way through that fourth phase. So we're good with our permits. And, you know, the time bomb you're talking about is we have to perform for our funding partner, you know, Prop 1E, the state of California. They want to know that our project's going to get done. And so we are supposed to start construction this spring. And we're very close to that. We're looking for construction contracts right now. And PG&E is helping us. Of course, there's some work that they need to do, relocation of some equipment, you know, to make sure that it accommodates the construction project. And we've been working with them since 2014 on this. And so we need to get that done this year. And so they've been helping us out to try and elevate that a little bit.
So that's a two-three year process?
We've been working since 2009. On this and it's about a $7 million project, so it's $1 million a year. I guess that makes sense. No, it's a huge project. It's going to mean a lot to the city. It's going to get a lot of people out of the you know, the flood zone and reduce their insurance and alleviate a ton of the flooding that happens all the way out to Fortuna Boulevard every time we have a, you know, significant rain event.
So being a Eurekan, why'd it take so long? Was it the magnitude of the project?
You know, we had to go through, you know, preliminary design and then get the state to agree that, yeah, this is a project that makes sense and one that can happen, that it is a project that can be permitted and we can get through all of those regulatory agencies, which we've done, and that it will actually alleviate the flooding. And so there's a lot of study and a lot of engineering to determine all of that. And then they say, yeah, okay, now you can have your, you know, almost $3 million grant to match your local money, and let's make this thing happen.
And the reason that you're having to play patty cake with the state is because they've got the money?
Yes.
I mean, it's not, as you're describing it, I'm going, wait a minute, this isn't Fortuna's jurisdiction. Oh, money, okay.
Yes.
Now I get it.
we need those partners. We need those
makes
grantors.
Sense.
And fortunately, Fortuna has been very successful over the years to get money from outside of the city to do what we do.
That's really how a lot of this jurisdictions locally survive, isn't it? By playing the game with Sacramento because we are so small and so far away?
It's huge. I like to kind of share with people our general fund budget, the dollars that we actually have discretion over that come in through property tax, sales tax, our transient occupancy tax, those types of things. That's really what makes up pretty much all of our general fund budget. And that's about $5-5.5 million per year for our budget for the city of Fortuna. And you look at a project like this, that's a $7 million project. I mean, you know, those are big dollars to be bringing in from outside the city to get things done in Fortuna. And we've got a lot of projects, you know, probably almost $30 million worth of projects sitting on the table right now.
After this one's knocked off.
Yes, that are ready to go, that are engineered, that are designed. We just completed, you know, a $1.2 million project at the wastewater treatment plant, our pre-disaster mitigation grant. Those dollars all came in from outside of the city. You know, we're improving Ronerville Road. You're seeing that under construction right now. So there's another one, another big project.
Thanks for coming by.
Oh, thanks for having me. Always want to talk about Fortuna.
Yeah. See you tomorrow.